ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. நிகமகல்பதரோர்கலிதம் பலம் சுகமுகாதமிருத்தத்ரவசம்யுதம் பிவாத பகவதம் ரசமலயம் முகுரகோரசிகா புபிபவுக்கஹ முகம் கரோதி வச்சலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத்கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே ஸ்ரீகுரும் தினதரணம் பரமானந்தமாதாவம் தாம் ஸ்ரீமத் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய தேவம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும் யஸ்யானுகம்பயஸ்வாபி மஹப்தி சந்தரேத் சுகம். Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 9, entitled The Supreme Character of Yada Bharata, Texts 13 and 14. They are written in prose, so I will just read them. Tasya hadaiva muktasya pasho padavim tattanu chara paridavanto நிஷி நிஷித்த சமயே தமசாவிருதாயம் அனதிகத பாஷவ அகஸ்மிகேன விதின கேதரம் விராசானேன மிருகவரஹா திப்யா சம்ரக்ஷமானம் அங்கீர பிரவார சுதம் அபஷ்யம். ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபத்ஸ் டிரான்ஸ்லேஷன். The leader of the dacoits captured a man animal for sacrifice, but he escaped, and the leader ordered his followers to find him. They ran in different directions, but could not find him. Wandering here and there in the middle of the night, covered by dense darkness, they came to a paddy field, where they saw the exalted son of the Angira family, Jada Bharata, who was sitting in an elevated place, guarding the field against the attacks of deer and wild pigs. Text 14. Atatayanam anavatya lakshanam avamrishya பத்ரிகர்ம நிஷ்பாதிம் மஞ்சமான பத்வா ரசானாய சந்திகாகிரிஹம் உபநிஞ்சுர்மூதா விகக்ஷிதவதனா. The followers and servants of the dacoit chief considered Jada Bharata to possess qualities quite suitable for a man animal, and they decided that he was a perfect choice for sacrifice. Their faces bright with happiness, they bound him with ropes and brought him to the temple of the goddess Kali. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In some parts of India, animalistic men are still sacrificed before the goddess Kali. However, such a sacrifice is only performed by Shudras and dacoits. Their business is to plunder their wealthy, and to become successful, they offer an animalistic man before the goddess Kali. It should be noted that they never sacrifice an intelligent man before the goddess. In the body of a Brahmana, Bharata Maharaj appeared deaf and dumb, yet he was the most intelligent man in the world. Nonetheless, being completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he remained in that condition and did not protest being brought before the deity for a slaughter. As we have learned from the previous verses, he was very strong and could have very easily avoided being bound with ropes, but he did not do anything. He simply depended on the Supreme Personality of Godhead for his protection. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes surrender unto the Supreme Lord in this way. Maravi Rakovi Yoiksha Tohar Nityadasa Prati Tuya Adhikar. My Lord, I am now surrendered unto you. I am your eternal servant, and if you like, you can kill me, or if you like, you can protect me. In any case, I am fully surrendered unto you. Hare Krishna, I'm glad to be back in Radhadesha. I'm sorry I missed the nectar of the Radhadesh mellows during the weekend. We were in Cabo Verde. This evening we will give a presentation on the preaching activities there. It was the same nectar of the holy name in a different flavor. Here it was the nectar in association of devotees and relishing together and building up the spiritual strength and absorption in the holy names. There it was more the holy name going out, giving it to people who never heard about Krishna. For them it was new, and it was also a great joy to give them the opportunity to chant, to start chanting the holy names. So we are reading this section. It's a very interesting section of Srimad Bhagavatam, the character of Yada Bharata. Bharata, Yada means crazy, crazy Bharata. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he said, we don't want in temples, we don't want crazies and lazies. Sometimes he said so. But in practice, many times he gave opportunity also to people who seem like crazy, but then they were not so crazy as they seemed to be. Like His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj will tell the story of one devotee in Boston in the early days. They used to call him Crazy Peter. Some of you may have heard the story. And Crazy Peter will live in the middle of the reception. The temple was, of course, smaller. It was not a big reception like we have here. He was living in the middle of the reception. He had all his things. He was lying down. And devotees, literally, they had to step over him or in order to go to the temple and go out. So his behavior was totally strange. It was not a normal type of behavior. Devotees were thinking to ask him to leave the temple, but Srila Prabhupada told them to be tolerant, to be patient. I'm not advocating here to ask somebody to leave or not to leave. I'm just telling a historical record, and you can interpret it as you like. I'm quite strict also about not letting crazy people to stay in temples too much, because then other people who are less crazy, they may go away. So maybe I'm still seeing materially the mode of passion. You see differences in the mode of transcendence. You don't see difference. You see only the self, the soul. But anyway, I'm not advocating anything. I'm just telling the story because it's related to Jada Bharata. Bharata the crazy. So then what happened is that Srila Prabhupada told them to tolerate, and they tolerated. Years passed by, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj went to serve Srila Prabhupada in India. For many years he was living in India and didn't go to the West. Until after some years he went for a festival like in America or elsewhere in Europe. And then he saw Crazy Peter, he was dressed as a brahmachari, and he looked very, very sober, very staunch. And then he asked some god brother, who is this? And he said, this is Kushakrata Prabhu, the great scholar who has translated so many books from Sanskrit to English, and he passed away in Vrindavan Dham. This is Kushakrata Prabhu, they told him. And he thought, oh, the Crazy Peter, that's what, the greatest, the weird person who was behaving in very strange ways, now he's such a great scholar, and he's doing such a great contribution for the community of devotees. So the point is that, and therefore he understood why Srila Prabhupada said, be tolerant. Please be tolerant. So he could understand that we cannot fully judge. Maharaj said, we cannot judge people based on the externals. Or we could say also, we cannot undermine the power of devotional service. The power of bhakti is so great that anyone can be transformed from a very strange condition of life to the most exalted position. And in this particular, this narrative of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see how someone who appeared to be crazy, Jada Bharata, he was actually Paramahamsa. He was previously the great Bharata Maharaj, after whom the whole world was named. Also, that's interesting, how the same soul can be the most famous person, everybody is named in the world after him, the same person can appear to be a dumb and deaf, crazy fellow. And he's the same advanced soul. So what will be the lesson for us? Do not judge, very good, yes. Do not judge by externals. Do not judge by externals. Sometimes we have to, of course, we have a service and we have to take responsibility, and in the performance of our responsibility, we should do our best, use the God-given judgment to perform our duties to the best of our ability. And this sometimes it means we have to tell somebody, you come, you don't come. We had in Cabo Verde, we had one fellow, Jamasami Prabhu, who was there. There was one fellow who we met in a public program. You will see pictures of him later on, if you come. He was dressed kind of military type, and he started to chant. He was, by the smell you could understand, he had drunk liquor. You could, if you come a bit closer, he was smelling. And he was chanting the holy names of the Lord. He said, yes, you people, I saw you here, like kind of New Yorker style. But he was not. He was from Cabo Verde. He said, I was in Liberia. And yes, I like you people chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He was chanting like that. I'm trying to imitate to the best of my ability. It was something like that. The R he was pronouncing, it seems he had been in French-speaking countries, because it was an R, a bit soft R, chanting the Rama in a particular way. Later on during the Kirtan, he came to the program, to the lecture. This was at the door of the university where we were having the program. And Jamashtami Prabhu very kindly invited another fellow who claimed to be a beginner in Nigeria? Liberia. Yes, he said there was another fellow who was with him, so we were going to have a program the day after. That was our last day in Mindelo. And this was a program in an apartment we had rented for the 4 days we were staying there. And I didn't want to invite this fellow because he was drunk and he was creating disturbance. Professors were going to come. It was a small program. So then I tried to avoid him, because the other fellow, the one who came to be a beginner of Liberia Yatra, was with him, and the other guy was drunk. And I didn't want to mix in a small place. The owner of the house was going to come, who was a well-to-do fellow. And so I decided, okay, we want to select who we invite for this last program. Anyway, I'm telling this because in preaching we use discrimination also. It's not that we invite everybody. We do acknowledge that person was chanting. We invited him for the public program. He took prasadam and so on. If it was a temple more open, we may invite everybody. It depends on time, place, and circumstance. So both considerations are there. We should be careful in judging other people. Everyone is eligible for devotional service. Yet, in the performance of our preaching activities, we apply time, place, and circumstance and deal with people accordingly. And also it depends on inspiration. It could have been that they have shown up and, okay, we will have received them. We couldn't say anything. But we were selecting who to invite for the last discussion. And we didn't regret it, because the people who came for the last day, there was a professor, there were very nice people who could have been disturbed by the extreme ways of acting and calling attention of the other fellow. So anyway, going back to our topic, yet we should be careful in judging other people, and we should offer respect to everyone. This is the teachings given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone is dear to Krishna. Everyone is a soul, a dear soul of Krishna. There is no discrimination. And everyone is eligible to somehow or other be engaged in the process of devotional service. And we should use our discrimination to engage everyone according to their particular situation. If we do not offer proper respect to everyone, we may be committing an offense. This is the one of the lessons we can draw from this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam. This person, these people, the dacoits, they were trying to kill, to offer Yadav Bharatat as a sacrifice, thinking this is a foolish fellow and we can offer him as a man-animal sacrifice. It seems from Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada explains in the 9th canto that since time immemorial, the practice of offering a human animal has been performed in India. That's not to say that it is acceptable, but it has existed. And this was performed, as Prabhupada mentions in today's purport, by people who were low-class people, Shudras or Dacoits. And they will do it as an offering to Goddess Kali. In India, still there are many people who offer animal sacrifices, and Prabhupada says here, even if they are able, if they can, a man animal, somebody who is maybe somebody who has no one to protect him, they will see him loitering around and they think, okay, we can offer this person. And they think they are going to get a benefit by performing such an imaginary sacrifice. They think they will be able to make lots of money in what they consider their job. Their job is to plunder the wealth of other people. But actually, such type of sacrifice are named in Bhagavad Gita as Avidhi Purvakam. Is there a Bhagavad Gita? But to again read the verse, it's in the section in one of the chapters 7 or 9, and now we will look, where it is described that the people who are materialistic worship the demigods, and their worship to the demigods is Avidhi Purvakam. Anyone remembers the meaning of Avidhi Purvakam? Any Bhakti Shastri graduate, student? Wrongly perform, very good. Avidhi, vidhi, vidhi means like Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations. Avidhi means without following any rule. It is an imaginary rule. They have invented their own ways of worship. Actually, worship of the demigods, it's, of course, in the chapter 17 of Gita, is mentioned as worship in the mode of goodness. If properly performed, chapter 17 of Gita describes worship of the demigods as worship in the mode of goodness. Thank you. The verse is chapter 9, text 23. Yepianya devata bhakta yajante shradayanvitaha tepima meva kaunteya yajanti avidhi purvakam. Lord Krishna is saying, those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. So the Avidhi Purvakam is improperly performed. One way will be, it's worshipping the wrong person thinking he's God, but he's not God. We find this, for example, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a discussion between Lord Brahma and Narada Muni. And Narada Muni asks Brahma, how is it that you seem to be the creator, but you are performing austerities? Is there anybody else above you? And then Brahma explained that, yes, indeed, I am only people who are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, they think that I am the creator. So as Srila Prabhupada says, God cannot be two. God is one. God cannot be two. If it is two, then who is it? There cannot be a competition of gods. So in Bhagavad Gita, God is described as Bhagavan. Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead. And there is Deva in capital letter, Deva. Krishna is Deva, 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 Jagatpate, God of gods. And then there is Deva in small letters, which is referring to the demigods. So everybody can be, in one sense, everybody can be known as Deva in a small letter. Everybody is God for someone. The parents are God for the children. Isn't it? For the children, the parents, they learn everything from the parents. A child without parents has a very difficult time. It's very difficult. And if they don't have the natural parents, at least they need that figure, that somebody, of course, it cannot be substituted, but at least that figure is there. One place we visited during our Cabo Verde expedition was SOS Children Villages. Some of you may have heard about that in the airports. They have. This was founded by one gentleman, I think, from Austria. I forgot the name. After the Second World War, because many children, they were totally orphans. They had nobody to take care of them. So they have a whole system how they organize their villages. They have one family. They seem to be quite well organized. They have one family who is a person who is trained becomes the father of the village. And he plays the role of the father figure for the little children. And then they have all the children, they live with a mother. The father of the village, he has his own wife and family, one house. But then they have women who didn't have children, or sometimes they take them in these countries in Africa. They take them from difficult countries, from Guinea. They make this, sometimes the Muslim, they make this heavy practice where they, anyway, they do some type of very violent, how do you call it? Yes, very violent surgery, wild surgery to the women so they cannot have children. It's a prohibited practice in many parts of the world. But they do it in Guinea. So they take some of these women and then they take them as mothers for these children. They train them and so on. So for going back to the point, the figure of someone representing God is necessary for the conditioned soul. Because ultimately, we are fully dependent on God. We cannot do anything without the help of God. And the help of Krishna comes through others. Comes through the parents. The parents are Krishna's representatives. The social leader is Krishna's representative. The spiritual master, of course, there is a different dimension. Spiritual master is even more Krishna's representative because he is revealing Krishna. But any teacher is also Krishna's representative. He's giving whatever we are learning is given by Krishna. Matasmritir jnanam apohanam cha. Everything comes from Krishna. So we should see, learn to respect everyone, both as Krishna's dear souls. Krishna is Krishna is present, is living in everyone's heart. So to offend anybody is actually to offend Krishna. In the Bible, in the Gospel, Lord Jesus Christ said that whatever you do to the lowest among you, this is what you are doing to me. And the idea is that Krishna is present in everyone's heart. So we cannot mistreat anybody. If we mistreat anybody, it means we are offending Krishna, who is within the heart of that person. Therefore, the spirit of the Vaishnava and the spirit mentioned in Bhagavad Gita is Pandita Samadarshina, seeing with equal vision. Vidyavinaya Sampanne Brahmanega Vihastini Shunichaivas Papakicha Pandita Samadarshina. Seeing the self within everyone. Seeing Krishna within. Seeing the supreme self within every self. And serve everyone. It may vary according to the situation, every moment, time, place, and circumstance should be intelligently applied, but that's the underlying principle. And then another way of honoring everyone is honoring for their position, whatever Krishna has given them, recognizing that position, and seeing how Krishna is also acting through them, he's giving us something. Like, for example, here we have His Grace Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu as temple president for so many years. This is actually a great blessing to have such a temple president who is committed for so many years. And of course, many other devotees have contributed to the development of this place, like Nadiya Vihari Prabhu, he has his good wife, Shyamalika Mataji, they have the bakery for so many years, giving steadiness to the place, just by being there fixed in the service. So to have such a temple president is Krishna's blessing. It's Krishna's mercy. You don't get it so easily. And this is confirmed by Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. They are coming and saying, yes, I agree. So here we see the dacoits, they were performing two mistakes, aviti purvakam. One mistake was worshipping the wrong person with the wrong mentality. They were worshipping Goddess Kali. Srila Prabhupada explains in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, if I remember well, that Goddess Kali in Calcutta, there are butcher shops where they sell Kali Prashad. They kill many animals, and what they sell, this is Kali Prashad. And Prabhupada said, this cannot be Kali Prashad, because Goddess Kali, she is a devotee of the Lord. She is Vishnu Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta. And she will eat only Krishna Prashadam, Vishnu Prashad. So therefore, she cannot accept such offerings of meat, even if traditionally sometimes there are some rituals for lower people where such offerings were condoned in some ways. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes will tell a story. There is that the story of the fellow who promised to offer a goat, to Goddess Kali, if she will give some benefit, a particular blessing. So then the fellow got the gift from Mother Kali. And later on, when he went to the temple, he didn't bring the offering. And then the goddess asked him, "Why? Where is the offering you promised me you will bring? You are not bringing anything. What is that?" He said, "I'm sorry, it is very difficult to get. I forgot if the goat was first or the hog was first, one of the two. It's too difficult to find a goat." And then she said, "Okay, bring something, bring some offering, bring a hog." So, okay, he agreed, "I will bring." And then later on, he went back, he didn't bring anything. Kali Devi again asked him. And then he said, "I'm so poor, I'm sorry, I cannot manage to get such an offering." "Okay, bring something, bring a chicken, offer something." So he agreed to bring it until it went diminishing, until the goddess said, "Okay, give anything, at least bring something, even a fly. A fly will do." And then the fellow told the goddess, "Well, there are so many flies on you, you can catch it yourself." So sometimes Prabhupada will tell that story to illustrate. It seems a contradiction, but that story is there in Prabhupada Nectar. To illustrate how the worshippers of the demigods, this is avidhi purvakam, not following any rules nor regulation. Offering, worshipping the wrong person with the wrong mentality, following the wrong process. Of course, there are different levels, different types of people, and as we were saying before, demigod worship, if performed in a particular way according to Shastra, maybe worship in the mode of goodness, because we'll gradually help the person to acknowledge there is someone above me, and ultimately to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the goal of demigod worship, to bring the people closer to worship Krishna once they get the proper understanding by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from bona fide sources. But Srila Prabhupada explains that the worship of demigods should be performed properly in the mode of goodness, not by devotees, but when people do. And offering meat to Kali, that's bogus, that's not bona fide, it's not real. Sometimes Prabhupada did mention that the sacrifice of, where the word mamsa is mentioned, the word meat, and where the fellow who sacrifices the goat tells the animal in the ear, "I'm killing you, I'm offering you, and in the next lifetime, I will be like you, a goat, and you will kill me." So, and this idea, this concept, is there to help the worshipper to come to the realization, what I'm chanting, what I'm doing. Do I want to become an animal and be killed like that? Certainly doesn't make sense. And therefore, stop such mundane activities and move on to the performance of devotional service to Bhagavan, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then the second mistake these dacoits made, which was even bigger than the first mistake, they were offending a Vaishnava, taking him for a person who was like an animal. And again, this is for us to be careful about judging other people. be careful and honor them, offer proper respect. This is the formula given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to learn or to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Trinata Pisunichena Tarori Vasakishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Amanina Manadena. Not expecting honor for oneself and being ready to offer honor to others. And this should be applied in all times, all places, and all circumstances. It may be difficult to do in certain circumstances, but this is the teachings given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Srila Prabhupada. Any comments or questions on the points related to this section? Bhakta Remy? Yeah, sometimes there are these questions about how to do. Sometimes we simply have to do it. It's like, how to be more respectful? We simply have to offer respect. How to be tolerant? Just do it. Something bothers me, just apply what Shastra says. Tamstitik Shasva Bharata. Krishna says in second chapter of Gita, Matras Parshas Tu Kaunteya Shitosna Sukha Dukkada Agama Payino Nityas Tamstitik Shasva Bharata. That the happiness and distress, they come as summer and winter come. Like yesterday when we, Pandu Vijay Prabhu came to the airport to pick us up, and Radharaman Prabhu was coming back from India, from being in places where you could be in the beach and taking the sun. And we came back from Cabo Verde, Jamasami Prabhu and I, 20, 25 degrees Celsius, very comfortable situation, and then you come to icy Belgium. Welcome to icy Belgium. So what can you do? We have to tolerate so sometimes we have warm environment, sometimes we have cold environment. Sometimes we have people who like us and who caress us. Sometimes we have people who like to pinch us, like come and say things to us and see what is our defect and we'll get into our case, isn't it? Doesn't that happen? And this may happen the same day you find different types of people. We find both. So we should learn to tolerate in both circumstances. How to do it? Just do it. The more Krishna conscious we are, the more we are able to tolerate. The more we see Krishna acting through that person, the more we can tolerate. Like we find the description of, I think was Bamsi Vadana Das Babaji Maharaj, who was an avadut type of person. Also like Yadavarat, some people will think he's crazy. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur referred to him as a genuine Paramahamsa. And then sometimes, because of his strange behavior, sometimes children will throw him stones. And then he will not protest against the children. He will talk to Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram, please don't throw me stones. Leave me alone. I'm not doing anything to you. Why you are doing this to me? So he was seeing Krishna and Balaram instead of seeing the foolish materialistic children who were envious of him and who were venting their lower qualities, anger, madness, pride, envy against him. He will see Krishna. So the more we're able to see Krishna in others, according, of course, we cannot artificially imitate, according to our level of experience and realization, the more we can be tolerant. And when we are not there, it's good to practice tolerance. That's tapasya. To see and to catch ourselves when the lower emotion comes, to see, yeah, this is the nonsense coming from my conditioning, and then, okay, apply ourselves. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the instruction to become tolerant like a tree. So, and then in obedience to the Lord, to practice it in order to please the Lord. Even if only, of course, it's not, that's the highest thing we can do, but even if we do it just to please the Lord, then everything will fall into place. Then we will start seeing others as Krishna's parts and parcels by doing it to please the Lord. Tadvait Prabhu? Okay, of course, yes, the power of bhakti is there. Also, it depends on the receptivity of the person also. So the power is there. Bhakti is very powerful and can transform anything, anyone and anything. But then it depends also what's our approach to the process of bhakti. We can let the process act on ourselves, or we can be resistant. So in that sense, it may take longer. Of course, we think in terms of a few years, but sometimes Krishna's perspective is different. And somebody recently wrote me a letter, somebody who listened to my last lecture here in Radhadesh, where about Bharata Maharaj, and I was mentioning how it is not that cheap to go back to Godhead in one lifetime. And one devotee wrote me that, okay, but Prabhupada said that we should have faith in doing in one lifetime. And yes, of course, we do fully agree we should go for it for one lifetime. But also it is not just by imagining that we do it in one lifetime. It's by mercy that we may be able to make it in one lifetime, and it is not up to us. We should target for that, but it's up to Krishna. So the point is that I wanted to make in this regard is that from Krishna's point of view, also the purification may take a bit longer, may take us a few more years. So the potency of bhakti is there. Somebody, whoever becomes connected to Krishna's devotees, who are the source of bhakti, naturally is going to become purified. Cannot be avoided. Cannot be avoided. I mean, even this fellow who was half drunk, I mentioned before, he was respectful to devotees. I could see. I dealt with him respectfully, and he was very respectful, and he was half drunk. You could smell it, but he was respectful, and this was due to the connection he had with the holy name and with devotees. This is my interpretation of the exchange. So there are different nuances to the process of purification, and it may take some years. Then also, how much are we resistant to the process of bhakti? Sometimes we can also, acharyas like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur have talked about bhakti abhas, shadow bhakti. So the more purely we perform the process, the more we become purified. But even bhakti abhas or nama abhas will elevate us, will cleanse our contamination to the point where we can chant purely. I don't know if that answers the point, but if you like to comment on something, you are most welcome to do. Yes, that's... Good points, both of them. The first point you mentioned, that we should not interpret the scripture upside down. Sometimes we interpret upside down. We say, scripture say we should offer respect to everybody and don't expect respect for ourselves. But then sometimes we are so ignorant. This is Kali Yuga mind frame, that we go and we punch somebody instead of offering respect, and then we say, Prabhu, you should tolerate. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Titikshava karunika, trinata pisunichena, tarori vasa kichnuna, like a tree, become like a tree. So it's a wrong application of the scripture. We should seek how to apply our... If I'm bothering somebody, and somebody tells me, Prabhu, you are bothering me, I should be, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. If I didn't mean it, I didn't mean to bother you. And then do my best not to bother that person. Or if we cannot get along, so let's make a peaceful, respectful agreement to respect each other and to live peacefully in Krishna consciousness. Maybe sometimes it happens. If I remember, there is one devotee, my dear friend, Avesha Rupa Prabhu, he is very much Pitta type, book distributor for 30 years, non-stop, very Pitta type person. Even in the middle of the winter, he has to sleep with the open window. He will come here, and he will open a little bit, and you will say, come on, give me a break. It's minus zero. How can you do that? So it will not be tolerated. It will be okay. Maybe we should sleep in these separate rooms. That's all. I like the closed window. You like the open window. So let's find a practical solution where we can be happy and serve together happily. So sometimes we have to be practical also. But the principle is that I should not justify my bothering anyone else, what to speak of bothering a Vaishnava. It's especially, we should be especially careful. And justifying with the philosophy, this is misusing the philosophy. It's like using the medicine, taking the medicine from the pharmacy and using totally wrongly. Like some people, they use the medicines to get intoxicated. They buy certain type of medicine and in this way they become, they have their whatever experiences they want to have. It's a misuse of the medicine. So we shouldn't misuse the teachings of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, to justify our misbehavior towards others. And then the second point was in relation to, can, okay, yes, we should properly, when we talk about, we should properly discriminate, meaning in a good sense of the term. We find in Shasta that we should associate with like-minded devotees, meaning in terms of the spiritual same mood of service, so we may develop a closer friendship with certain types of devotees, and that's no offense to other devotees if our respectful attitude is there. Of course, we shouldn't misuse that I associate with like-minded devotees to undermine another devotee. So we should be careful with that also. But it's legitimate to associate with devotees we feel more inspired. That's okay, that's fine, that's natural. Like when you go to a place, you are given choices. Also for prasad, even though we say, okay, we should see only, okay, everything is Krishna prasad, but naturally we choose, I like the sabji with paneer, I like sweet, I don't like sweet, and that's okay. With Mahaprasad, many times we are told not to discriminate, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta will mix it sometimes to avoid material mentality. But it's natural that we are given certain choice, and natural choice is there in devotional service. It's legitimate. Yes, generally it's true that we hear that generally we shouldn't defend ourselves, but if other Vaishnavas are disturbed, we should act. That's the general principle. But also you mentioned the principle of taking care of for our bodies engaged in the service of the Lord. So it is also legitimate to, like, self-defense in certain situations is humanly totally legitimate. It's normal. It's natural. So when to choose one or the other, when to act in the transcendental, totally surrendered position where, okay, Krishna will take care of me, or when to defend oneself for the service of the Lord or as a natural response for somebody who is embodied. This will be depends according to the realization of the devotee. I will say we shouldn't be artificial, we should be natural, and according to our level of realization, act on it. And if we make a choice not to defend ourselves, we should be real. Shouldn't be, I make a choice not to defend, and I start getting red, what builds up, and then I explode like a pressure pot, like this cooking pot. So it should be real. If I choose not to defend myself, I should, okay. So, but generally speaking, the practice of tolerance is good. In the case of Jadavarat, the way how it is described by Srila Prabhupada and how we read from the Bhagavatam, he didn't care the least. He could see for him it was the same eating, like it is described before, in a few verses before, if I remember well, it's in this section, the how he was eating the burnt food given to him by his brothers who mistreated him. He was eating it as if it was nectar. Like he was really seeing like that. He had that realization. So when the dacoits came, his absorption was elsewhere, was not so much into the bodily platform. He didn't want to come back again, as in the case of Bharata Maharaj, he became a deer. He was just absorbed in transcendence. That cannot be artificially imitated. But if somebody has that realization, may it happen. Somebody has that inspiration by the Lord and chooses not to defend. And sometimes when we do that, then Krishna does something. Or we can ask for protection. That's another way of going about. Instead of trusting in our own strength, we pray to Krishna, please protect me. Start chanting to Lord Nrisimhadev for the holy name of the Lord. Prahlad Prabhu. Good point. Very good. We can judge by how we are experiencing, how we are we feeling disturbed or not. Good. Any last point? Actually, pure Vaishnavism, Vaishnavism in the way how Srila Prabhupada taught it, is Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti means a pure devotion without expecting anything in return. This is the standard of pure Vaishnavism. Cases of mixed bhakti, there may be cases like in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev describes bhakti yoga according to the nature of the practitioner. So he says, there are many types of bhakti yoga bahuvido, many types of bhakti according to the quality of the devotee or the offering. And for example, and then he describes four groups. One group is bhakti yoga in the mode of passion, which means that the devotee offers something expecting something in return. Say, for example, somebody is chanting Hare Krishna and he's thinking, I need to make money for my family. I'm in trouble. Krishna, please help me. And okay, his family is a devotee family, but still there is some idea of give me something in return. And this will be, could be, depends on the mentality also. There may be even the same, apparently maybe this appear to be the same. It depends on the spirit, how it is done. It may change in each case. Somebody may do it with a material vision. Somebody may do it because wants to please all the devotees and wants to do a service, then will not be in the mood of passion in the second case. So that possibility that there is mixed bhakti is there. But we are always encouraged and instructed by by the spiritual masters, by the acharyas, by the scriptures, to go onto the realm of Ananya Bhakti. Bhakti, loving service, without expecting anything in return. We will feel, we will be happier and we will be properly situated. Like in one occasion, Srila Prabhupada said, my dear Lord Krishna, how can I serve you? He expressed that prayer. And he said, any other prayer and you will not be happy. So even if we do a negotiation, we're happy for the time being, but then we will not feel satisfied because what we are lacking is bhakti. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, in this world there is no lack of anything. The only thing lacking is Krishna consciousness. So if we establish our that connection, real connection with Krishna, pure bhakti, without expecting anything, then we will be happy. If we don't, even if we try to negotiate, always there will be some dissatisfaction. I'm going to end, because it's very much related, with a story I was reviewing in the ninth canto about the man-animal. There is another description of Shunakshepa, mentioned in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shunakshepa was actually a very advanced soul, but he was taken as a man-animal also because of his behavior, which was quite also avaduta type of behavior, not following rules and regulations. And there was one king, King Harishchandra. He had no son. He wanted to have a son. He was so eager to have a son that he was ready to do anything to have a son. And then Narada Muni, when he saw his desire, he said, you talk to Varuna Dev, the god of water, of the ocean, and he will help you. He can help you for that. So he made a deal. He did a yagya for Varuna Dev. And he made a deal with Varuna Dev that he will give him a son and then he will offer the son as a sacrifice for him. But obviously, when he made the deal, this is the condition of our conditioned nature, that when we make a deal, we think, let me solve it now and later on I will deal with it. So he thought like that. I'll get a son, and then I will negotiate. That was the idea. So the Bhagavatam describes how he had a son named Rohita, and then Varuna was coming to him. He said, okay, you said you will give it to me. You will offer him as a sacrifice. By the way, there are no purports in that section of the Bhagavatam. So it's kind, Prabhupada doesn't comment. What does that mean? Like how the Bhagavatam is mentioning this? Only in a later section he says that it seems that practice was happening. He's not condoning it, but sometimes that it will happen that somebody will do these things for materialistic purposes. I don't know well why, but even make such a deal. So then Varuna was asking, and then he said, when the animal has teeth, Harishchandra will reply, when the animal has teeth, it's fit to be offered. Wait until it has teeth. Then Varuna will come back. And he said, when the animal has changed the teeth like the children, the teeth have to be changed, then it's proper to be offered. And then he was procrastinating to offer him. When the animal becomes a real warrior, a kshatriya, then he is fit to be offered. So in this way, Rohita, his son, grew to the point where he was a young man, a young kshatriya. And Rohita, when he understood that this was the deal of his father with Varuna, he said, I get out of here. He left the place. And although he was very respectful to his father, his father, this is the way he was born, and he acknowledged that, but he didn't want to be killed. So he made then a deal. He purchased the son of somebody as a son who seemed to be retarded son, Shuna Shepa. But Shuna Shepa, actually, he was a Paramahamsa. They thought he was retarded, but he was a liberated soul. So we find such descriptions sometimes in the Bhagavatam, but the Bhagavatam never recommends them. This is things that happen, and some people will do that. I don't know if did that answer. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.